Thank you. It is so good to have you join with us at the same time each week. And again, we are so, so glad to be able to come into your homes at this same time. And again, we always like to take time because it's almost every week that we get letters here concerning the radio broadcast, and we're just very, very happy to receive them. We want to thank you that have taken time to write us because we appreciate it very, very much. Just an encouragement to know when we have those that have written for the first time, you know, and tell us they've been listening for 5 or 6 years but just have never taken time to write, or we get letters that tell us, you know, and we thank the Lord so much for the broadcast because we've come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and realize that water baptism doesn't take us to heaven. We've been taught that all of our life, but yet it's been a challenge. We've got mad at you first, and then we got so mad we were going to turn in the Bible and prove you wrong, but when we turned in the Bible, we found out it wasn't by water baptism, it wasn't by confirmation, it wasn't by good works, and it was quite a shock. Remember, one person wrote and said, you know, I never knew Ephesians 2:8-9 was even in the Bible. And of course, we know what it is, for by grace are we saved through faith, that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, with that, we don't want to elaborate upon that anymore at this time and take away from our study here of the book of Romans, but let's continue on. Remember now, Romans chapter 1 is an indictment against the Gentiles that they have sinned, and they're guilty, and they need the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 2 is an indictment against the Jews, showing that even though the oracles of God and the Word of God was committed unto them, that they have sinned and broken the law of God, and the law was given to show that they needed a Savior, but they were self-righteous and so forth, and they are under indictment too, and under the condemnation of Almighty God, because they are sinners too. So in chapter 2, it stripped the righteousness of these self-righteous Jews. Now it comes to the world in chapter 3. Now we had left off with verse 6 last week, so we're going to pick it up here in verse 7 here, and begin here with verse 7 and 8. If the truth of God hath abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil, that good may come. And then Paul dismisses it with, whose damnation is just? Where do you get these asinine ideas? And why do you slander us and say that we said something that we didn't say? You see. So in essence, Paul is saying, some of you, that's you lost people, have accused me of telling a lie, and you called it the truth of God unto his glory. This is the lie, Paul says, that sin is necessary to show God's righteousness. Let us do evil that good may come. That's the lie. Now Paul answers the tattletale accusation in this way. If that be so, then why yet am I also judged as a sinner? You see, these false accusations and lies about Paul's teaching were so contrary to Scripture and common sense that Paul dismisses them with a very simple statement, whose damnation is just? You people that twist and got a twisted mind, you lie about me, you have said that I said something I didn't say, your damnation is just. You don't want the truth, you reject the truth. Now, we can draw a practical application from this today, can't we? And I'm sure that every one of you have experienced it. I surely have, and I'm sure that many of you have. Paul was accused of lying, yet those who knew him, they knew better. You know, a Christian should live so that when people speak evil of them, that no one will believe it. Now, let's go here and look up some verses here, and God knows this, and he knows their busybodies and so forth, but let's go in our Bibles. And we're going to turn over here to Proverbs and then take a few from the New Testament here. And God knows this, and he has put some of these things here in the Word of God. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 17, and notice here in verse 9, we've just picked out a few here. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. How many times has somebody separated friendship because they just went around and they couldn't keep their mouth shut. In chapter 18, verse 8, notice this. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. They cut right to the quick, do they not? And I'll tell you what, you want to stay away from somebody that's always going around saying something, and saying something. Now, I'd never lived in a little town as small as what I live in here, but I've learned very, very fast I don't believe anything that I hear. And after hearing many, many things about other people and hearing things come back that people have said about myself, I found out in a small town I don't believe one thing that I hear at all until I find out firsthand that it is true or it's not true. And I've said this before, I've had more lies told about me here in just a little town than I have in 25 years of being a pastor or so forth. I've never seen anything like it. But I've also found this out too. This is characteristic of just about all small towns, because everybody wants to know everybody else's business, and if they don't know it, they're going to make up something about it, and pretty soon they're known as busybodies. They hush, 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 and you'll hear them whisper and see this in one thing or another. But anyway, let's go and see what God says about it in Proverbs chapter 20, in verse 19. Let's go over here and look at this. He says, "He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets, therefore meddleth not with him that flattereth with his lips." In other words, the person will be as nice to your face as they possibly can, you know, put on this front, and then when your back's turned, they'll go tell something about you, and whether it's the truth or a lie, many times it's a lie. Let's go here to Proverbs chapter 26. There are many more things in here, but I just thought I'd point out a few of these here. This is what Paul experienced. He most assuredly did. And just about every one of us have too. Chapter 26, notice here in verse 20 and 21 and 22. "Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals, and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The wounds of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into innermost parts of the belly." So God knows exactly, doesn't he? He surely does. Now let's go over here to 2 Thessalonians. Let's go here to 2 Thessalonians. And we begin to look over here and see what God says here. 2 Thessalonians here in the New Testament here in chapter 3 in verse 11. They had the same thing here. Nothing's changed in human nature, has it? And notice what it says. "For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly and working not at all, but are busybodies." They're just busybodies. Want to run around, tell everybody, "Ooh, did you hear this? Oh, did you hear that?" And a lot of it is some true, some not true, you see. Now let's go to 1 Timothy here in chapter 5 in verse 13, writing unto Timothy here. Chapter 5 in verse 13. It says, "And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not." I was talking to a person, it was several months ago, and anyway, they said, you know, someone, I sort of feel sorry for them because they sort of seem to always be by themselves, not seem to have many friends. And anyway, they came over to my house, beginning to set, and the person said, you know, from the time they got in, all they did was just gossip about somebody else. That's all they did. Gossip, 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 gossip. And she said, you know, I don't care if she ever comes back again. Said, I don't want to hear that stuff anymore, but that's the reputation this lady has around town, that wherever she goes, gossip, 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 and so forth. So you're going to find people don't pay any attention to that after a while. We come over here to 1 Peter chapter 4. Notice here in verse 15, it says, and telling the Christian now, it says, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters." So that's to the Christian now. And don't be running around here and being concerned about everybody else's business and that. You got enough to do if you're own. If you be witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not going to have time to be involved in other people's matters and so forth. Now, with that, let's go on back here now and get back to our next verse here in verse 9 here of Romans chapter 3. So let's read it. "What then? Are we," that's the Jews, "better than they, the Gentiles? No, in no wise," Paul says. "For we have both proved that both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin." Well, he surely has. Now, we come on here, and verse 9, We, as we've said, are the Jews. They are the Gentiles. All are sinners. Even the righteousness of an unsaved person is as filthy rags. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6 tells us here that all of our good works, now this is before we're saved now, all of our good works are nothing but a pile of filthy rags, and we do fade as a leaf. And you'll find out no matter how much you clothe yourself, it doesn't make any difference. Sooner or later, they're going to see some wrinkles in the suit, or they're going to find out that you're just not as good as what you put on to be, and not at all. You know, it's like, and we are, unless we've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, we are dead in trespasses and sins. Like you take a man when many funerals that we have priests and so forth, you'll find out that if it's a man, they always have a very, very nice suit on, but they're dead. They're still dead. No matter if it's a woman, always a nice dress and have her fixed up as nice as they possibly can, but she's dead. And no matter how much you clothe yourself to look good, you are dead in trespasses and sins until you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Only the saved man has righteousness, and that's not of his own, but it's Christ's righteousness. We find out here in Philippians, in chapter 3, and in verse 9, where we have Christ's righteousness given to us, and be found in him, that's Christ, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness which is by faith of Christ. So, we have the righteousness given to us and placed to our account upon our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's go on as Paul addresses them here. The Romans here, let's go on here to verses 10 and 18. In these verses, and we'll begin here in verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Now, we're going on down here in verses 10 to 18, and Paul levels an indictment against the Jews, showing them guilty as sinners before God by their own scriptures. The same scriptures they claimed righteousness by only prove them to be guilty. Now, as he's addressing the Jews, we also apply this because we are human beings, just no, irregardless of nationality, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But let's just go take them down here now and notice how God knows. Paul, writing by the Holy Spirit, puts a condemnation upon us all if we're honest with ourselves. And he puts that in front of us. Sometimes a man has to look in a mirror once in a while to find out that he's a sinner. And he's just not this kind of person that he presents himself to be all of the time. And that's what God wants us to recognize here, because if you don't recognize you're a sinner, you have no need of a Savior. You'll just keep clothing yourself with all of the traditions of the church, all of the goodness that you have to put forth when somebody's around, and you'll clothe yourself with that, but you'll be lost as a goose in a caboose in a Cleveland blizzard. Well, let's go on down. First of all, we find in verse 10 here, and there is none righteous, no, not one. Sin is inherited from Adam, therefore we have all sinned. We take the second indictment here in verse 11. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. Well, we've all been willfully ignorant, have we not? We most assuredly have. None that understandeth, that's a lost person. No one can understand as far as the will of God, only his will that we be saved. We can understand that Christ loved the world, God loved the world, and gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's go down to the next verse. There is none that seeketh after God, all seek their own. Have you ever done that? Well, then you're guilty of sin. And number four, let's go on down. They are all gone out of the way. They have deliberately turned their backs on the truth. How many have done that? How many have heard the truth? I know there's many that hear this radio broadcast and have for the past 10 years or so. And you know what? There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds that just love it. But you have some that hate it because their tradition is more important than the truth of God's Word. More important what great-grandmother brought us up with, and grandmother and mother and father, but reject the truth. Won't even look in the Bible to see if it's true. Notice on down to the next verse now. They are all together become unprofitable. They've dishonored God instead of glorifying him. Next verse, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Now, we find this recorded in the Old Testament there in Psalms chapter 14, verse 1. They practice evil and they do not follow that which is good. None that doeth good, no, not one. Is there any of you that have done good all of your life, never done anything wrong? There is no one of you, Jew or Gentile. And then in the next verse here, their throat is an open sepulchre. And that's recorded in Psalms chapter 5, verse 9. The mouth only says what is in the heart. It most assuredly does, Matthew 12, 34. With their tongues they have used deceit. Lying and deceiving are natural attributes of the lost. Have you ever told a lie? Have you ever deceived somebody? Have you ever told them something you knew wasn't the truth or so forth? Well, I suppose all of us have at some time or another, haven't they? I know I have before I was saved. And I'll tell you what, you begin to read this. And this is why God put this in here, because if you're not saved and you don't know you're going to heaven, then these are indictments to open your eyes and to get you to realize you're a sinner. Because if you don't realize and will not admit you're a sinner, you don't need a Savior and you're destined for hell. You've just sealed yourself right straight to hell. But when you realize you're a sinner, then you'll want a Savior whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. That's recorded in Psalms chapter 10, verse 7. A man speaks from the abundance of his heart. And we find that in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, of course. But whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness? I remember years ago when I first got out of high school there, worked and did carpenter work in that my mouth was half of my words were just swear words and cuss words. It was horrible. And in fact, there happened to be a Christian I worked with, and he brought that to my attention. And he said, Max, next time you want to say a cuss word, why don't you say, oh, sugar? Or if you hit your finger with a hammer or something like that, I'll tell you what, you can get some awful old sugars coming out of there when it's brought to your attention. But I'm really glad he did that. And it took a lot of nerve for him to do it, but I didn't get mad at him. In fact, my mouth was so dirty when I would cuss. I did it out of habit, didn't even realize I was doing it. It was just so much a habit in my vocabulary, because I've been around a lot of people who had done it and so forth, and it just didn't mean anything. I just part of them, you know. But that's the same way today. But when you look at yourself and it comes to your attention, you begin to read the Bible, you find out that you're a sinner. You find out you're a sinner, and that's good. Because once you realize you're a sinner, you need a Savior. And that's the purpose of why God put this indictment in here. We find out here, destruction and misery are in their ways, in verse 16. And we find that recorded in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 7. Christ deniers and false teachers bring upon themselves swift destruction, Peter says in his second epistle there in chapter 2, verse 1. And then in verse, we come on down here in the next verse here in verse 17, and the way of peace have they not known. The way of peace they've not known. That's recorded also in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 8. So you see, the Old Testament Jews who should have known their Bible, then it's an indictment against them right off of the bat. Or personally experienced, because they deliberately refused to glorify God, but became vain in their own imaginations. And we find that in Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Now let's go to the next one. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Well, they are fools, aren't they? For fools make a mock at sin and say in their heart, there is no God. And that's what we find out here in Proverbs chapter 14 in verse 9. We find it also in Psalms chapter 14 in verse 1. Now, let's notice here in verse 19. Now we know that whatsoever the law saith, it saith to them, that's the Jews who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all of the world may become guilty before God. After reading this indictment, no one can plead innocent, and the verdict from a righteous judge is all of the world is guilty before God. You see, as we've said, before a sinner can be saved, he must realize he's lost. Otherwise, what is he to be saved from? More people are in hell today because of self-righteousness, because of their pride, and because they're trusting in their social position, they're trusting in their status within the community, and thinking, you know, God wouldn't send me. Look at all these people that like me. God doesn't judge you on what other people think of you. God knows your heart, and he knows those wicked things in that heart. The heart is desperately wicked, and above all things, and who can know it? You see, God knows your heart. He knows the things that other people can't see into your mind of what you're thinking. And he sees the lust that you have in your mind, but you've never revealed it, you see. And nobody else knows that. And boy, how sad that is. He knows the things and the hate that you have within your mind, but you've never expressed it, have you? No, but you're just as guilty. Because why? First of all, God knows your heart. The expressing it and the doing it is only the evidence of what you've already contained in your heart. It already is there, you see. And many times you don't go ahead and do it, but you're just as guilty because you have it in your mind to do it. You're just afraid to do it, afraid you'll get caught to do it. But boy, you hate somebody, don't you? And if you hate somebody, then God says you're just as much a murderer as if you went ahead and killed him. Because I know you have it in your heart. You just haven't done it because you don't want to get caught at it, you see. All of the world is guilty before God. So when we go down through these indictments here that we find out that no one in this world is free from these indictments. We're not guilty of all of them as a lost person, but giving all of these indictments, we are guilty of some of them. And it only takes one sin to send you to hell. Or to choose to go to hell, because God doesn't send you to hell because he sent you a Savior so you could escape the punishment of hell. You only have to go to hell if you choose to go to hell because you reject his Son. Now, you can substitute that with a lot of other good works. You can clothe yourself up as the prima donna in town wherever you live, or you can go through all the traditions of the church and so forth. But if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're lost. And God will not accept your good works. And you ought to read Isaiah 64 and read what it says. And it tells us here, Isaiah 64, 6, all of your good works, everything you try to dress yourself up with to impress other people, God says, I know your heart and you're a sinner. Now, other people doesn't see the things in your mind. They do not see the resentment, the hatred, the jealousy, the covetousness, and the lust that you have in your heart. And every person has some of those things if they're lost. Even Christians, after they're saved, God has to warn them not to fulfill those things, get those things out, follow the Holy Spirit instead of the old nature that you still possess. Now, let's go down here to verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. As we've given all of these indictments here, when Paul gives them here, coming from the Old Testament here, we find out when we look into the perfect law of God, into his perfect law, his perfect righteousness, we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We fall short of being as righteous as God himself. So we look here and we find out here in verse 20, the law cannot do. What can it not do? It cannot justify anyone. It cannot save anyone. It cannot keep anyone saved, and it cannot make anyone spiritual. Then what does the law do? Well, first of all, it reveals sin. It condemns in verse 19, does it not? That every mouth, them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. So it condemns and it points men to Christ. It most assuredly does. Because when we find out that we are a sinner and are willing to admit it now, then we need a Savior, and we thank God that he loved the world and gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I thank God every day that he loved a sinner like me. And I thank God so much. How in the world could God love me when I used to use his name in vain all of the time? My mouth was filthy, a filthy vocabulary. I thought I was a big shot. I thought I was a tough guy and all of this. And I'd swear and cuss and everything. And so did everybody around me almost, you know, except for a Christian one day and pointed that out to me. So, we find out in conclusion to verse 20, for by the law is the knowledge of sin, not justification, and not pardon. And that's quite a shock to some people. But if you're listening and you think you're going to heaven because you've done some good things for the church, you give your money to the church, or you've had the preacher sprinkle a few drops of water over your head, or you think that you've been confirmed by the church, now that's going to get you to heaven and so forth, You better go and be confirmed by the Bible, realizing two very simple things. Number one, you're a sinner. The church does not save you. Your confirmation does not save you. The preacher sprinkling a little bit of water over your head does not save you. Being baptized as a baby does not save you. All of these things the church does, but you're going to find out babies aren't to be baptized. Sprinkling is never found. It's always by submersion. And when you look into the Bible, you're going to see a lot of perversion that the church does. Some churches do, and has deceived you. But the Bible says, if you'll take time to read it, and you have absolutely no excuse, you realize you're a sinner, you better go to the book to find out how to go to heaven. These verses, all the way through the Gospel of John, all the way through the Bible, teach only by faith in Jesus Christ can you have eternal life. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever will believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, all of those that believe on him will not perish but have eternal life. The Lord came not to condemn this world. Why? Because it was already condemned. Everybody has sinned. But the world through him, Christ, might be saved. Not water, not baptism, not confirmation, not this. Not. It's amazing to me, of all of the rumbo jumbo that churches invent that are not in the Bible. And until you begin to study the Bible for yourself, but remember this, the only thing we can do is tell you what the Bible says. If you're not interested enough to go to the Bible for yourself, there's no hope, sir, or ma'am, or whoever you are listening. That's all. We just hope it's a challenge enough to you to not believe what men say unless they can show it to you in the Bible. But your eternal destiny and your life insurance, your eternal life insurance, is based upon one person. That's Jesus Christ. That's the only insurance policy that will pay the dividends of what it promises. And that is, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, it's been so good, we'll have to stop right there. We'll pick it up here and continue here with verse 21 here next week. But we'd like for you, remember our website, you'll enjoy that. We've had many, many comments on that, thousands of hits on it. And it's, we think, a wonderful website. So we'll put a word in for ourselves. But it is www.heritagebbc.com. And we hope that you will take time to examine it. We hope you'll take time to write. Our mailing address is the Heritage Radio Bible Class, Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota, and our zip code is 56180. Until next week at this same time, keep looking up, because Jesus is coming.